The Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by Reaper Apparel Company. Reaper Apparel offers a casual line of superb fit, finish, and comfort. We design for those who refuse to die slowly and choose to live untamed. For those who aren't afraid to face the dark, for the ones that thrive in it, and for those who can appreciate life through a grim lens. That's Reaper Apparel Company. Go to the link in the description of this episode. Use the promo code MikeBono and get 10% off. Also, the Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by my own personal merch store, the Stupid Should Hurt merch store. I have hats, I have t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, water bottles, notebooks, you name it, I've got it. The description and the link for that will be in the description of this episode. Also, right now, if you use the promo code WELCOME, I will give you 5% off of your first purchase. That's the Stupid Should Hurt merch store. Also, the Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by Tactical Brotherhood, all-American-made apparel, which helps support the Second Amendment. You can also find all this in the description of this episode with the link, Tactical Brotherhood. Part of every proceed does go to helping veterans, as it is a very good cause. All American-made products made right here in Minnesota. Go and check them out. Use the promo code PATRIOT15 to get 15% off your purchase. Now, let's start the show. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Ride Home Rants podcast. This is, as always, your host, Mike Bono. I got another great guest for us today, a motivational speaker. He dabbles in a lot of other things, training and stuff like that. Really excited to talk to him, Brandon Wiley, all the way from Erie, PA. Great to talk to you.
What's going on, Mike? How you doing? Thank you for having me, my friend.
Hey, not a problem. So let's jump right into it. So you're a motivational speaker. Why motivational speaking and kind of what got you into that?
So it's an interesting story. First and foremost, when I was growing up, one thing is that I always talk about is I hated speaking in front of people. It was like my greatest fear. And so, so for me to be doing this now is, it's wild. It's crazy. It was like, I would rather swim with sharks, you know, play with snakes than get up in front of people and start speaking. So for me to do this was wild, but it was my calling. It's always been my calling. It just took a lot to get to that point, to have that comfortability to do it. And so I'm just a person who likes to help people. I think first and foremost, laying the foundation of help. And I've always been that type, just an active listener, as I like to call it. And so, and that's actually my other profession. I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Pennsylvania. I got my master's degree in, again, a university in Erie, Pennsylvania. And so in clinical mental health counseling. And so it's just been kind of embedded in me, and everything else that I do with my business, that took shape as well. So it was just a progression of just growth and understanding that if I want to make an impact in the world, I got to step out of my comfort zone too. And so that was a big, push for me. It was scary, especially getting into the area that I'm in. It was definitely scary to have to put myself on a platform like that and just start speaking. And the only way to do it is just to go through it. So that's how I kind of got to that point.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate to that, you know, as a comedian, believe it or not, I had the worst case of stage fright that you could possibly think of. And, you know, just a buddy of mine who had ran comedy shows asked me to come up on an open mic night like 2 days before the show. And, you know, I went up and, I mean, I fell in love with it. You know, making people laugh, I think, is one of the best medicines in the world out there. And typically it's free if you can make somebody laugh. So it's a great way to do it. But, yeah, getting up on stage and talking to a room full of people was terrifying. Like, I think my first show, I showed up, like, hour and a half, almost 2 hours before the show. I was there before the host and the person who was running the show.
Yeah.
And it was at a bar. I just started to get some liquid courage in me, you know.
And then finally got up on stage
and started making people laugh. And it's contagious, I'll tell you that. So I've been doing that for 9 years now.
Wow,
it's
man.
Insane to think about that. Because somebody asked me, like, so how long have you been doing comedy? And I had to actually be like, okay, I started... Wow, it's been 9 years almost. Like, it's coming up.
And to go back on it, right?
Yeah. Like, I was like, 2022 makes 9 years. God bless. It doesn't feel like that long to me. It's
when
crazy.
You love what you do, it never does, right? When you're loving what you do. So that's the beautiful part about it. So kudos to you in that aspect, man. You found something that you love.
I will say the travel is not fun, especially with COVID and everything like that.
Sure.
So that being said, and I know you do some trainings and stuff like that. So take me through that. It's called Open-Eyed, right? Or am I saying that right?
Opened Eyes. Yep. Opened Eyes. Yes, sir. So that's part of, you know, and that's how I kind of got into the motivational speaking aspect was my business. So how that started was I was in my last year of grad school. And well, I'll just take you back a little bit to kind of go through a little walk. So when I was in sixth grade, I'm from Sharon, Pennsylvania, Sharon, PA. So I went to school at Our Lady of Fatima in Furrow, PA. And I remember I was in sixth grade walking down the hallway and this little girl behind me, she said, hey, she said, what are you?
Cool.
And I remember turning around thinking to myself, like, what do you know what I mean? Like, what do you mean? What are you? And she just continued to ask me the question. She's like, what are you? You look different. Like, you don't look like you're just white. You don't look like you're like, what else are you? And at the time, I didn't really think about my racial background. I didn't really think that my parents look, you know, different or whatever. They're just my parents. And so I remember going home and talking to my mother about that. And it really impacted me because it made me feel very uncomfortable and in my own skin. And I thought there was something wrong with me. And, you know, my mom being motherly, she was just like, you know, you're my Brandon, you're my Brandy Pooh. She used to call me, like, she still called me that today. And I'm 33 years old. And, you know, shout out to my mom. But I think it was she didn't know how to react to it. So my dad is black and my mom is white. So when I began to like that, it's like that girl triggered a response or like an awareness that I never had before. And so, but at the same time, it was almost like a domino effect. So she, as soon as I heard that question from her, I began to hear the question all the time. It was almost like she just set it off. So then all of a sudden I'm hearing, what are you? What are you? What are you? Look different. What are you? What are you? And I just remember from a mental standpoint, how it just negatively impacted me. And so throughout my life, throughout high school, throughout even college, it was something that I had to really cope with. Now, when I left my town and I came to Erie, PA to go to college, I began to come into myself a lot more. I had a great experience in college. I had a terrible experience in high school, elementary school. Just, you know, identity, anxiety, depression, you know, bullying, some light bullying that I had experienced that really, you know, made me go into a very dark place. When I got to college, it was almost the time to reinvent myself. And so that's what I did. And when I got to grad school, my last year of grad school, so I'm getting ready to graduate. It's a stressful year. I'm doing my internship and my practicum and getting ready for my big licensure exam. And I have this dream. And I always say this is it sounds very Martin Luther King-ish of me, but I had a dream. And the dream was about writing a book. And the book was called, What Are You? A Journey to Self-Discovery. I saw the book title. I saw what the book looked like, what the front cover looked like. I saw everything. So I woke up from that dream and I thought to myself, wait a minute, why would I write a book and title it the question that I hated hearing the most growing up?
Right.
And so me, right. I'm a spiritual person. I believe in signs. I believe in, you know, visions. I believe in that stuff. So I took that very seriously. And I began to, like, contemplate it and meditate on it. And so as I started, like, writing down my thoughts, and I was like, okay, if this is what I'm supposed to do, there's a reason behind it. And so I just started writing. I started writing about the question, how it impacted me, how, you know, everything. And so I was driving home to come back from a break or for a Thanksgiving break. So I was driving back down to Sharon with a friend of mine. My friend goes, you know, you should turn your book idea into a program, like some type of leadership development program. And me being me, I'm like, okay, squirrel, I see something else here, another avenue. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. Let's do that now. And I'm trying to still figure out how the hell I'm going to write a book because I never did that before. So now my mind is all tore up. So I'm thinking about that. I'm like, that is a great idea. Like, I should do this. And then I started thinking about it more and the feelings and the passion behind it intensified. And then I stopped for a little bit, like it cooled down. And then Trayvon Martin happened. And that cold case impacted me pretty significantly. And so as soon as that case happened, I began to have the desire again. Okay, I need to revisit this. I need to get something going. And so then I started building a little small team of people that I trusted, people that I loved, people who were involved in business, people who were involved in education. And I said, look, I have this idea about this educational program that's going to focus on self-development, diversity, equity, inclusion. And I'm just going to, and I just want to get something going. So I brought people to the table and we just started like talking about what was going on in our country at that time. So that was like 2014. We were talking about like, what would we have liked to have seen when we were in school? What kind of leadership programs, what kind of developmental programs would have been beneficial for us? So from there, and there was another, I was staying at a house at the time with some of my other grad school cohort members. So we were just in this, you know, it looked like a little fraternity party house. And we were sitting at this table just talking about life. All of a sudden, Open Eyes started to bloom from that. And it just manifested into something that what it is today. And don't get me wrong, the past 5 years or so that this has been going on, there's been ups and downs of any type of business or any type of career that's getting started. You know what I mean? The hustle, the grind, times where you're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. It doesn't make sense. And so that's kind of how Open Eyes formed. And so we wanted to tailor the program we wanted initially to be focused on youth development, which it is. But as things progressed, we started getting calls from universities. We started getting calls from businesses saying, hey, we need some type of workplace diversity, equity, and inclusion training to help drive our organization. So that's what we do. We collaborate. We consult with businesses. We consult with we just did a training for a faculty-wide training at Mercyhurst University recently. We train faculty and staff at school districts. So it's just kind of manifested into this movement. And the what are you question is now I've removed that negative connotation that I've associated with what are you for so long. And now I've made it my own. So now what are you is not so much a question of what's your racial background. It's a question of what are we made of? How do we identify ourselves internally? And don't get me wrong, externally is very important. What we look like and culture, it's beautiful. I love exploring that. But what I really wanted to focus on with this program was that internal piece. How do we identify? So what are you is the philosophy behind what Open Eyes is.
That is probably the best story I've heard in a long time.
Thank you,
man. That's awesome that it started that long ago. You know, yeah. And to turn it into something like that. But I will agree with you on one thing is that my mind's kind of the same way as you, you know, squirrel. And, you know, it makes it tough for me when I'm writing jokes and sure. Stuff like that. Because, I mean, there was at one point in time, I remember I was just sitting in my office and I had my hand on my face and I was just staring at a blank template on my computer.
Yeah,
and I remember my wife walks in. She goes, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Just writing jokes." She goes, "You have nothing down." I was like, "I know." She goes, "How long have you been in here?" I was like, "What time is it? I don't even know what."
Just got lost in time.
And she was like, "It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon." I was like, "Oh, I've been in here since like 7 this morning." And then it was funny. I was talking to a guy, he helps coach comedians and trainings with comedians and stuff like sure. that for writing workshops and stuff like that, which all of them do. They can tell you that they don't do any of that. It all just comes naturally. excuse my French, they're full of shit. They've all done it, but yeah. Hey. He was telling me that he was like, well, everyone knows the comedian George Carlin, and how he would write his specials and everything like that. He would keep at the time a notebook with him, and maybe he was going through like a McDonald's drive-thru or something like that, and the person working says something funny, and then he would just write down cheeseburgers are funny, and then he would go back and type that into his computer once, you know, everything came to that, and then he would just start saying, well, okay, if cheeseburgers are funny, then, you know, this, and then he would just start cutting and pasting it into a story, and that is how he wrote his entire, he never actually sat and wrote jokes. It was just everything that he has done in his life. He just lived his life, and this is funny. That's funny.
That's this super is funny. Dope.
And got me thinking. I was like, well, shit, I could do that.
Yeah.
That's not right. It's not that. I never thought of it that way. I thought, oh, I got to try to find things that are funny. And, you know, that grind that you were talking about in the beginning. Like I said, I've been doing comedy for 9 years. And it is still a grind. Like, people will tell you, like, it's been 3 years of you doing comedy and you're still doing open mic nights. It's like, it's not like overnight success. You know, it's not like I'm going to go tell one joke. Oh, next thing you know, I'm on Netflix. You know, it's not, it doesn't work that way. And
sure,
people, I just don't think have that drive to go and do something. So I think what you're doing is fantastic, and it's
thank you.
Definitely got to help a lot of people. Especially, you know, with the times that we're in, you know, the wonderful age of COVID and everything like that. So how has that affected what you guys do?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Big labia energy.
What if I eat a little cheese every day?
Just keep it.
It's like I have a tolerance.
Yeah. For cheese.
Good same job with building cats. Up your tolerance. Like, if I pet a cat every day for the first week or two.
I thought you were going to say, if I eat a cat a little bit every day, starting at the tail and just ate a little bit, then I'd be fine. But if I didn't eat a cat for 3 months.
I would totally start at the face. Why would you start at the tail?
If someone put a gun to my head and said, eat this cat.
I'm trying to think of an acceptable
scenario. We're still talking about a feline, right?
Oh, did you think I was talking about pussy?
Maybe. It could go there.
I don't want to eat a cat. I want to eat a pussy.
So I smile at this question because I often hear, how did COVID affect you? How did things, you know what I mean? How did you guys navigate through that? Actually, COVID, I'm not saying COVID was a blessing per se. I'm saying COVID for us, the whole situation is when my business really boomed. We maximized our clientele. And we made it work. And so and there's other factors. Like, so, you know, I was talking about like the past 6 years and there's ups and downs of everything. Well, I had shelved Opened Eyes, at least the concept of it for a little bit. Just the focus. I mean, you understand as an entrepreneur and as a person who's creative and trying to get things going, there's those moments where it's just like, yo, this is too much, man. I'm tired of this. I just wanted to like click, you know what I mean? And it's not clicking, right? So right before the pandemic, I was in talks with our local school district here, and we were going to do this cool program. And I was like, yes, this is the resurrection of, this is really going to take Opened Eyes to the next level. And then a damn pandemic started to hit. Like, you talk about a punch in the gut. It was the most defeating thing I had ever experienced. And I was so irritated and frustrated. I'm like, damn it. Like, here I am getting ready to lock in a deal with a school district and do this big event, and this happens. And so, of course, the thing got shelved because school shut down.
Right.
So we couldn't do no programming. You couldn't host any community events. So there I was. Sitting back in my house again, you know, I was working from home at the time. I was thankful to be able to work from home during that time as well. But I'm sitting there, and my business mentor, he keeps hitting me up. He's like, so what are your thoughts? Like, what are you doing? Like, going on with Open Eyes? Like, I believe in this. And this guy, he's actually one of our board members now. but he's a great mentor. And he was just like, so what are your thoughts? What have you been doing? Or are you losing motivation? Are you okay? You know, just checking in with me. And I'm like, I'm not okay. I'm sitting here trying to figure out what I need to do to navigate through this. Fast forward to about May, and George Floyd happens. And I don't believe, of course, absolute tragedy, and threw the world upside down, especially because we're in the midst of a pandemic as well. Now we have this situation from a social justice standpoint. Now all of a sudden there's, you know, protests and there's all this talk about what's going on. Then you throw the election in there and oh man, it was a whirlwind. So when George Floyd happened, probably immediately after, and I'm talking maybe about a week, people knew, they somewhat knew what I was doing or what I had done, you know, with Opened Eyes. And they're like, Brandon might be a great resource. So like all of a sudden, it was almost like the floodgates open. I had people messaging me, Brandon, what do we do to navigate through this period in time? Like this is, you know, the country is in turmoil, like literal turmoil right now. What do we do to navigate through? How do we have these conversations? And so what happened was not that people didn't think diversity education and all that stuff was important before, but all of a sudden I'm getting inquiries from businesses all over the Erie area, beyond Erie, the Erie area. Right. And so people are saying we need some type of education. We need some type of training. We need some type of this. And so, and with the COVID restrictions, we were doing trainings on Zoom, you know, like that's how it started. That's how we really started to kick off. We were doing Zoom trainings. And so we were trying to figure out how, you know, to navigate through that. So now I got all this business coming in and I'm a face-to-face type of guy. So the Zoom stuff was a little weird and awkward for me. Just in the sense of I like engagement. I like to be able to like look at you when we're in the same room, you know what I mean? And talk to you. And so, but all of a sudden we started getting all this work and we've just been busy and this has been nonstop. And the Erie community has just been so great to us. And now, you know, I'm talking to organizations down in Texas and Buffalo. We're getting ready to get, you know, fly down to Texas in the next couple months to work with an organization. So now the program has started to go national, which was always my plan, which was always my goal. And my goal is this, you know, and so, you know, of course, we're still navigating through COVID. We're not out of the woods yet. You know what I mean? So we still have to be mindful of restrictions. I am doing a lot more face-to-face trainings now. So just because of, you know, the regulations and people feel a little bit more comfortable. But of course, people are still wearing masks in our trainings and things like that just to keep the things healthy. And that's fine. We've been navigating through, Mike. Like it's like I said, 2020 was really the rise, the rebirth, as I call it, of Opened Eyes. 2020, and I always said this even leading up to 2020, is 2020 vision. Even though the vision wasn't really what we had seen initially, it's what we needed. So, and again, another sign, like 2020 was our year, 2020 vision, Opened Eyes. That whole concept was just really powerful. And so we didn't see a pandemic coming. We didn't see George Floyd coming. We knew the issues were there with racial segregation in our country. We know that those issues were there. That's why I started this whole program from the jump 6 years ago. But I think the thing was that people knew I had been doing this. It wasn't like George Floyd happened and Breonna Taylor happened, and then I jumped on the wagon to start a diversity educational program. I've been doing this because it's personal to me. I've dealt with the racial issues. You know what I mean? Like I've dealt with identity. I'm part of two worlds. And so I've had to navigate through that. And so I've seen one side and I've seen the other side, even with my own family. And so it was one of those things where, again, I felt called to a higher purpose because I wanted to provide, again, education. I wanted to create healthy dialogue on these issues. And I just don't focus on race. When we talk about diversity and inclusion, I think everybody just thinks it's about race all the time, especially now that's what we're dealing with. But under the umbrella of diversity, under the umbrella of inclusion, we're talking about everybody. That's what inclusivity is. It's all of us sitting at the table, whether you're white, black, gay, straight, or, you know, Diversity is dealing with mental health. Diversity is dealing with ageism and ableism and all of these other isms that are out there. So I don't just focus on race. I focus on this conglomerate of information that focuses and is under the umbrella of diversity, because this is a universal diversity. One of my big goals was to take diversity out of the box that we put it in and broaden the horizons a little bit. This is how we focus. This is how we talk about it. And so that's really how we've been navigating through COVID, and this is how we've been developing. And really, it was COVID, and it was the whole situation last year that really jump-started the organization to new heights, which is, but you know, again, I'm not sitting here saying COVID was a blessing, because it obviously has destroyed a lot of businesses. It's killed people. It's killing people. And so, but I, from my standpoint of business, I can't say that it affected me in that regard. You know, so we were able to navigate and make it happen.
Right. I mean, I definitely get the aspect of, you know, just killing momentum. I was kind of in the same boat as you, you know, trying to start and kickstart, you know, Mike Bono Comedy and everything like that. And was talking with, I mean, an agent in, I don't talk about this a lot because it was something that just killed 8 years of momentum in comedy for me. Was talking to him, literally was about to send me paperwork to sign with a label and get that agent, that manager to really kickstart the career. Then March 2020, COVID, everything shuts down. And he goes, "Hey, man, you know, you're funny. We think you have a market, but we're going to have to pass now because everything is, we don't know what's going on." So that killed probably all the momentum I had had. You know, I was hype. I literally almost walked into my day job at that point in time and quit. Like, that's where I was at the time. Like, all right, this is happening. Finally, my comedy career is taking off. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do. And good thing I didn't.
Yeah, bro.
Because literally, like, the next day he called me and told me all that. And I was like, oh, man, I mean, I get it, but that just sucks. And that's that's probably the hardest blow I've taken. But, you know, it's not for the weak, this industry and this business. And people, somebody would be like, oh, well, screw comedy. I'm not doing that anymore. And would have just went on about their life and gave up. Me, I stewed about it for probably a month. You know, I was off work because my day job wasn't essential at the time. So they shut us down. And for about 3 of the 6 weeks, you know, I stewed about it. I sat in my house. I was on lockdown. I couldn't leave, you know, so what do I do? How do I do this? Started back up my YouTube channel. Started a series, The Day in the Life of a Struggling Comedian. And started to take off a little bit. And I also chronicled my time in quarantine and in lockdown during the beginning of the pandemic. And people were like, "Well, why are you doing that?" And I was like, "Well, I'm a comedian, one. And two, what else am I going to do? I mean, I could have just said, you know what, the hell with this. I'm done, whatever, shut everything down, websites, everything. Yep. No, I started a series on YouTube. I started, obviously, the Ride Home Rants podcast at the end of 2020 in December, which we're coming up on our year mark, which I'm super pumped about.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's funny, for those of you who are new to the show and don't know how the show started, literally, it was me driving home from my day job and just ranting about my day. And just, it started on my YouTube channel. I would post the videos. It was a half hour drive home. I worked in customer service, so I had been ear beaten all day by customers and everything like that. So it was, okay, yeah, yep, you're right, putting on that plastic face and that smile, and yep, sure, absolutely, yeah, And then once I got into my truck and on my ride home, then everything, just the gloves came off, and it was just, in starts the Ride Home Rants podcast.
Awesome, man.
You know, I think people during the pandemic went one of two ways. They either gave up on everything, their dreams, everything they wanted to aspire in life, and just said, the hell with it, this is life now, or they try to make something of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, coming into 2022, I think everything's going to hit the fan again. I really do think things are going to hit the fan again with everything that's still going on. I'm not going to go too much into that, but I think it's going to be a good year for those people who really hustled in 2020 and 2021.
Sure. I agree.
But I know I could literally sit here and talk about this all day, but we are running down near the end of the episode. So now it is time for everyone's favorite segment, the Fast 55. Five random questions from the wonderful manager of the show, John Fitty Falcone. And I'm going to tell you, I'm looking at them now. They literally have nothing to do with what we've been talking about for the entire show. So here we go. It's kind of rapid fire, but you can elaborate a little bit on them.
All right.
So question number one, who's a better all-time overall point guard, John Stockton or Kyrie Irving?
Oh, man. man, Stockton is so, he's so legendary. I think John Stockton just has a little bit more up on Kyrie. And I say that more so now because, don't get me wrong, Kyrie is solid. He is solid, but the consistency is not always there. And that's what I'm going to base this one off of. Stockton had some consistency.
Okay.
And irrelevancy. So I'm going to go, I'll go with Stock.
All right. Are hockey players better athletes than baseball players?
I would say, that's a tough one. I would say I'm not a big hockey fan or baseball fan. So I'm going to say that hockey players probably have to have a little bit more. I feel like that's a tough sport.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I'll get into that after this, but remind me, we'll come back to that.
All right, let's do that.
Number three, best restaurant in Erie, PA is?
So I would have to say Otis 12. And the reason behind that is because they have some of the best chicken wings in town. And I'm a big chicken wing fan.
Yes, absolutely. I will agree.
Otis 12.
All right, number four. Giraffes, overrated or underrated?
Giraffes?
Giraffes, the animal giraffes.
Giraffes. Giraffe.
Overrated or underrated?
I think they're underrated.
Underrated. All right. And last question, Planet Fitness, overrated or underrated?
Oh, that place is overrated.
Definitely agree with you on that last one, for sure. But all right, real quickly, back to the hockey player versus baseball player athletes. I'm with you. I'm going to say hockey players, and for this reason and this reason only. Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins went to batting practice for the Pirates just as a visitor, just to see, you know, hometown teams sticking together and everything like that. They let him take BP, and he was facing starting pitchers, professional starting pitchers, and he was taking them yard on every pitch.
What?
He was just the hand-eye coordination that you need for hockey. I get it. But to be able to hit a baseball and to take it yard every pitch, I mean, it was insane to watch. I remember I watched it live on ESPN, immediately went to YouTube, was like, I got to see, this got to be everywhere. And I looked it up, and I watched it probably 8 or 9 times in a row. Like, how in the hell are you that good of an athlete that you were hitting professional pitchers yard, and it's not even your sport?
That's crazy. I never knew about that. I'm going to have to go look that up as soon as we get off this call.
I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure if you type in Sidney Crosby, Pittsburgh Pirates batting practice, or Sidney Crosby batting, something like that, it should be the first video. It is insane to watch.
I'm gonna check that out because I didn't see that. I didn't even know about that. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right. Like I said, we are running down near the end of the episode. What I want to do for you, my man, is I'm going to give you a minute. Anything you got going on, you want to promote, tell us where Brandon Wiley is, where we can find him. Floor is yours.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Well, first and foremost, you know, our organization, if you go to our website, www.opened-eyes.com, you can get updated on a lot of stuff that we're doing. You know, we do a lot of community-based stuff. So obviously, like our trainings and workshops, those are typically closed off to that organization that we're working with. But hey, if anybody wants a training or workshop, there is an opportunity to fill out an inquiry on our website. And you can say, hey, you know, I'm interested in hearing more about Opened Eyes and the trainings that you do. Or, hey, Brandon, I'd love to have you come and just speak at my school, speak at our business, or, you know, for a retreat day, or host a retreat day, whatever it is that you wanted to do. We have all that information on our website. You can see what kind of services that we provide and what type of topics that we talk about. And so we tailor the program to meet the need. And that's just what I love about Open Eyes. And so every day is just something new and fun and adventurous. You can find us on Facebook, Opened Eyes, just one word. If you're on Instagram, look us up at OE_WhatAreYou, and that's the letters R and U. And again, you keep up to date with us on what we're doing. And we do a lot of other social outreach events and advocacy. And I do want to highlight, too, that even though we're based out of Erie, PA, we don't just stay in Erie. Like, our goal is to continue to expand. And our goal is to continue to work with organizations and bring this message across the country, and for that matter, across the world. So that's the big that's my big push. And I'm just excited. And Mike, I appreciate you, brother, having me on your podcast. It means a lot to me. And I just really appreciate the time and the conversation. And so hopefully we'll cross paths again. And to all the listeners out there, thank you for taking the time to listen. And I appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem, man. Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. It was a great conversation. A lot of great messages in there that I'm sure our listeners are going to love to listen to. But that is going to do it for this week of the Ride Home Rants podcast. Again, thank you, Brandon, for coming on to the show. Really appreciate it. And as always, be a friend. Tell a friend if you like the show. If you don't, tell them anyways. They probably like it just because you don't. I don't care. That's going to do it, and I will see y'all next week. The Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by Dubby Energy. Energy drinks made for gamers, streamers, and podcasters alike. For gamers, streamers, and podcasters alike. Go to the link in the description where you can find the best energy drinks out there. Less caffeine than a cup of coffee. Also, no jitters and no crash afterwards. Use the promo code MikeBono and get yourself 10% off. Also, the Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by my favorite sponsor of the show, and that is Shankit Golf. Golf apparel made for the everyday golfer. We might not go out and shoot a 6-under par. We're probably going to shoot a 6-over par, but this is going to give us the gear that's going to help us rock it on and off of the course. Go to the link in the bio, use the promo code MikeBono, and get yourself 10% off there as well.